So I'm in flight school, which both of you know about. Yeah. I think my instructor thinks that I'm a little bit unhinged because...
Because he's met you.
That's what you want in your pilots.
Yes, yep. I invited that one. Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, I have not given him a lot of opportunities to be like, oh, she's really intelligent. so it's probably a fair assessment.
Did you bring him like your SAT score?
I will next time.
Right.
We have to do a pre-flight check before we go. And so the way that we do it, since I'm a student, is I read out the pre-flight check to him. Okay. And then I do the thing, but I'm telling him everything I'm doing as I go. And there's a thing called a pitot head, P-I-T-O-T, and we have to check it. Okay. Except that on the little pamphlet, it was smudged, so I read it, pilot head check. And so I said, pilot head check. And I said, how are you feeling? What?
Do you need a hat? All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pre-successful.
Yes.
I think we're going to start our staff meetings with pilot head checks. I think that'll be fun. Sure. I'm going to bring that in,
What does that involve in a staff meeting?
I don't know. We're going to find out. I'm just going to say, all right, it's time for our weekly pilot head check. And I'm just going to see what the reaction in the room is. I'm not going to tell anyone what we're doing or what it means. I'm just going to say, weekly pilot head check.
Right.
And then just be silent and see what happens.
Like, should we check each other for lice?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see what the reaction of the room is. We'll just...
This feels like a human resources nightmare.
You are a resident personnel committee member, so
I would suggest not...
Your advice against this.
Yeah. Encouraging people to touch each other's heads.
I'll preface it by saying this is against the advice of personnel.
but it's time.
It's time for a weekly pilot check.
Right. How was your Wordly score today?
Today was solid.
Yeah.
Today was 3.
I was four out of six.
Yeah,
today,
I did really well. I tried a new strategy today.
Okay.
So rather than, because I have a starter or standard starter word.
Me too.
Okay. So I got my standard starter word. And rather than just playing off the letters that I had, I tried an entirely different word with a whole new set of letters.
Okay.
And so in the first two guesses, I had all 5 letters, and then I just had to get them in the right order.
That's...
It was... I don't know. This might be a new thing. This might be my new gold standard.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Oh, I'm so happy. What are we talking about?
Wordly.
Wordly.
Okay.
Come on, Elise. Catch
I
up.
I don't know.
It's sweeping the nation.
Right.
It's sweeping
Get in right
room.
Now because it's only going to be here for a bit. It's going to flame out soon. Mm-hmm. So you want to get in now before it flames out.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to be playing Wordly in like February. It'll be totally passe
lame,
by then.
Yeah.
Hopefully it lasts until February. Definitely March is it's
game over.
Yeah. Or at least nobody's talking about it anymore.
Right.
So you want to get in quick.
Yeah.
With your Wordlies.
The premise of Wordly is that you get 6 guesses to guess a 5-letter word.
Just like any 5-letter word.
Correct. There are no clues.
But so you guess a 5-letter word. Every guess has to be real words.
Okay.
And so you guess a 5-letter word and it tells you which letters are in the word but in the wrong place or are in the correct place or are not in the word at all.
Okay.
And then you have to process of elimination and try to guess the
5-letter word
of the day.
Okay.
Correct.
What's your starter word? What's your standard starter?
My starter word is rates.
Rates. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I have 2 vowels. I got that S at the end. So just get that out of the way because I'm always thinking, is there an S or Y at the end of this word? So just get one of those out of the way. Yeah.
I like train because I get the 2 vowels and I get the TRN, which seems to be pretty common.
Yeah. And my 2. RTS is, the 3. So, and then usually my second word has an N and an L in it. So.
I saw somebody recommend like meow or it's not meow like a cat, but it's like,
meow is it?
It's like M-I-O-U something. I don't remember how it's spelled, but it had like
German meow.
German meow.
That was very funny.
Thank you.
Anyway, I didn't have that was the one day that I didn't guess the word when I started with that, so I gave up on that one.
Yeah.
Their premise was, look, you get all these
vowels. You get your vowels out early. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's the one you want to know what the vowels are.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk about religious liberty.
And we're not just doing a Wordly podcast.
Welcome back to Wordly talk.
It could be a daily podcast. We could go out every day with our Wordly strategies.
Just discuss the word of the day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Huh. Today's word is point.
It was point, yeah. Yes. This won't come out until next Monday.
So. Okay.
So, yeah, you get one word every day, but
everybody gets the same word.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same word.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's why you don't want to talk about your starter words before.
Right.
It's all been done.
Yeah.
Because you can see your...
It's all...
You can share with each other, your graph of, what you got right and what you got wrong.
Oh.
And how quickly you got it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about religious liberty. Let's get into our news first.
All right.
Before we lose all our listeners.
Hey, I think we just gained a bunch of new ones with our Wordly talk. I think it's a whole new market for at least the next 2 weeks.
Right.
Sure.
Yes. Strike while the iron's hot.
2 Los Angeles police officers fired for ignoring robbery to play Pokemon Go.
Nice. Okay.
When you think of police officers being fired, probably not the reason.
Right. That's not what I was expecting. Yes.
Yeah.
Huh. Yes.
Pokemon Go. Okay. So they were on-duty police officers.
Yes.
Ossifers.
Our two officers. Their names are public, but I won't say them here on the podcast.
That's nice.
Yes. We'll spare them from being known by our tens of listeners.
The humiliation.
I don't want to associate them with our worldly crowd, okay? They were involved in a robbery with multiple suspects at a Macy's in Southwest LA, but failed to respond to radio calls for backup.
Okay. So they were being called for backup. And they did not respond.
They were out of that car trying to catch.
They were pursuing a nearby Snorlax, which is a Pokemon character. And evidently, it's fairly rare in the Pokemon Go universe.
So you got to go get that Snorlax.
Did y'all play Pokemon Go?
I did not. We have a Pokestop or a tournament or something here in the parking lot.
Yes, I once came back on a mission trip with kids, and we were parking in the parking lot, and there was like 40 nerds in our parking lot just standing in the corner. And I was like, what are you guys doing here? Yeah. And he's like, this is a Pokestop, and there's about to be a rare here. And I'm like,
cool.
Have fun. Yeah. I was too old for Pokemon. Like, it came, it was popular, and I was just not, I was too old.
So I was definitely in the right age bracket for Pokemon, but I was not a Poke kid. I was not in that.
Were you forbidden for playing it for like religious reasons?
No, I was definitely not forbidden. I didn't have cable growing up, so I didn't like watch the show or anything like that. And I just never really got it and didn't understand. Yeah. And people would be like, oh, well, I put down these cards and these things battle. I'm like, but they don't. I just didn't get it.
Whenever I do talk, so if you're not familiar with Pokemon, you catch like mythical animals,
right?
And then they fight each other. So whenever I do talk to Pokemon people, I like to annoy them by saying like, "How is this different than dog fighting?"
Right. Like, basically the same thing.
Like you're basically your pet, and you make them fight other people's pets.
Doesn't feel very ethical.
Yeah, I'm like, does the pet have a choice? Does Pikachu get to choose not to fight?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm about to tell y'all something super lame.
Yeah. we're already there. That's
also fun. Was not a Pokemon kid in that I didn't play the card game or watch the TV show. However,
saw that coming.
The Nintendo 64 had this game that I rented multiple times from the Blockbuster. Wow. Where
multi-rent from a Blockbuster. I love it. Okay.
It's called Pokemon Snap.
Oh, you go take pictures
you
of Pokemon.
You take pictures of Pokemon. That's the whole game.
You just walk around the Pokemon world and take pictures of Pokemon. Yep. You don't battle anybody or anything like
that. No, you're just taking pictures.
I love that you rented it multiple times.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Did you like, because you can like say, you could save your name on the N64 game. So you would like rent it back and you'd still be there?
Yes.
Could you continue your game or do you have to start a new game every
I think
time?
You could continue it.
Oh, man, that's the dream.
I mean, I was like 8 years old, so some of this is foggy, but
how many times do you think you rented it?
Probably double digits at least.
So you could have bought the game.
I could have.
Like 4 or 5 times over, probably.
Yeah.
But your parents let you continue to rent it.
Yeah.
I love that. I love this so much.
You gotta take photos of Pokemon.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Of all
so
the games that were out there as a child, I mean, hey.
It was
sort
of like, I guess it's the equivalent of like the British Bake Off or something for an 8 year old playing Nintendo. It's just very soothing.
Harmless. Yeah.
Nothing happens.
Yeah. It's kind of a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems like Pokemon Go too. Kind of nothing. Yeah. You just go around looking at Pokemon on your phone.
It gets people out walking that maybe otherwise wouldn't be.
Usually
it
gets them driving and then causing an accident when they emergently pull over.
Or it gets them ignoring calls to protect and serve.
Yeah, all right, we're not going to make a good argument for this.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, so first our officers claimed that they did not hear the radio response.
Obviously, because Snorlax is loud.
But then it turned out they were being recorded, obviously, in their car.
Even better.
And then they claimed they were reading texts from other people saying these things. They were not actually talking about going to go catch Pokemon.
They were reading a text about it. But then they said, we're the police and we can subpoena your text messages.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yes. So they heard the message, decided not to go there to go catch their Snorlax. And then after catching the Snorlax, they had to go get a Togetic, which is another Pokemon, to go fight the Snorlax. And this is another rare. So
even after they caught the Snorlax, they still didn't respond to the call. They went to find another Pokemon.
Yes. You can hear them saying,
I love it.
Don't run away. Don't run away. And then he buried it and Ultra Balled the Togetic and got him. Because you got to catch them all.
Got to catch them all.
Usually when you hear a police officer yelling, don't run away, don't run away, it doesn't quite end the same way. Yes. It might end it with a firing, but not
usually this one.
Not like this, yeah.
I will say, you know, I have the utmost respect for our first responders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not these two idiots.
No. Yeah. They made a choice.
They did make a choice. And I feel like the consequences for their choice are the least that they could have expected for this.
Yeah. I mean, they are committed to their choice as well.
There you go.
These are the nicest things we can say
here. I'm even willing to applaud their commitment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bravo for your commitment.
They're seeing it through.
The video or the recording ends of this encounter with one of the officers saying, those other guys are going to be so jealous.
Oh my gosh.
Which means there are other police officers
playing Pokemon Go
who just didn't get caught.
Right.
Like that's
this is a thing.
Yes.
Maybe they're going in for the robbery, guns and phone out. Yeah. You know,
like
is this blue team?
Right.
I know that's a thing. I don't know what it means though. If you want to know, according to the Pokemon Encyclopedia, Snorlax is a huge bipedal dark blue-green Pokemon with a cream-colored face, belly, and feet.
Sure. I had some pictures of him once.
Yes, and Togetic is a small flying Pokemon that can sense the kindness in other people.
Aww.
That's
so
cute.
Let's go fight it.
Yeah. He sounds pretty lame in a fight, but he sounds cuddly. Tell you what, if I'm getting into a fight, like if I'm getting into a good old-fashioned street brawl, you know, I don't want the Pokemon that can detect kindness in others. Yeah. That's not the one I want on my side.
Unless you're looking
for allies. Right.
All right. So we got religious liberty is what we're going to be talking about. Our religious
liberty. Liberty.
So we have like a very specific story and then religious liberty in a general sense.
Okay.
What do you want to start with? Specifics or general?
Let's go specific.
Yeah.
Let's nail in and then...
Okay.
I would agree.
Yeah.
All right. So Supreme Court is going to hear this at some point.
The Supreme Court of the United States.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Not of the Pokemon.
Not
world.
Of Pokemon. Not of, the state of Texas, but like the whole thing.
The
Supreme
Court. Yes.
Capital T.
Yes.
The.
That's a regular court, but
like
it comes with
State University.
It comes with sour cream. Because that's the Taco Supreme.
The Supreme Court, yeah.
At Taco Bell. Yes.
As opposed to the deluxe court, which comes with like olives and onions and
that's
yeah.
True.
Right.
That's true.
It's the shredded cheese and the
right.
pico.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, so the what they're hearing, Supreme Court to debate football coaches' prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Byline here. This is from Christianity Today.
I'm going to say I'm really glad no court is debating my prayer. Seems.
What would we be debating?
I don't know.
Do you do it good enough?
Right. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Ooh, goodness.
Yeah.
Am I up to their standard?
Did kneeling and praying at the 50-yard line violate the First Amendment, or did a school's attempt to stop it violate the First Amendment? So this is what they're kind of, you know, getting into these murky waters.
Okay.
Which one of those violates the First Amendment?
Sure. So we know this is a football coach at a public school.
Football coach at a public school.
Because, you know, private school, this would not be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So football coach, public school in the state of Washington, I believe, outside of Seattle.
Yeah, Bremerton, right?
Bremerton, yes. Outside of Seattle. So every in 2015 is when this occurred. So after every game, Coach Kennedy would go out to the 50-yard line, right in the middle.
Yeah.
Where else would you do it?
Here we are. As conspicuous as possible.
To kneel and pray.
Okay.
So now the question starts with, is that a public or private prayer?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So what? And was Coach Kennedy praying for himself as an exercise of his faith?
Yep.
Was he praying as an official representative of the school district?
Sure.
Did players join of their own accord? Were they pressured to participate?
Yeah.
Were they pressured indirectly to participate?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, since there's a power dynamic, that could be that indirect pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do? And then Kennedy and the school can't even agree on if he was fired. Was he fired or was his contract not renewed?
Cool.
So
sounds like a fun case for the lawyers.
All
right. It's going to be interesting.
I'm glad that I do not have to do that thing.
Right.
So all these things are kind of coming together in this one case of like, what do we do with this situation? And, you know, who is at fault?
Yeah.
Or both, you know, or neither.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court decided that it will hear this case.
Okay.
But it's not, but they've not yet heard it, and they've not yet made a decision.
So the event happened in 2015, and now in 2022, the Supreme Court has said we are willing to hear this case.
They declined to listen to it in 2019, I think, because some of the factual details hadn't been like really nailed down yet. So they just
Because they couldn't agree if they had been fired
exactly.
Or
exactly. They just said, we can't.
Like
can't
this
do
is
that.
Ridiculous. Yeah, go like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Thus far, as it's made its way up the court system,
Coach
Kennedy has been ruled against.
So they've ruled in favor of the school district, saying they were allowed to stop this proceeding.
Correct.
And it was within their rights to do so.
Yes.
Yep.
But evidently, I don't know how it works. You can still get up to the Supreme Court.
Lots of appeals.
Yep. Lots of appeals, lots of things, you know. So it's, I mean, and for Coach Kennedy, I mean, this is a now a 6-year journey. So,
sure. You know, it's a journey.
It is. Yeah. So what do we think? How do we feel about this?
Well, I think there are two primary issues here, which is what we're really getting at, right? There's the coach's personal faith, mm-hmm. and there's his public role as a what's the word that I'm looking for here? As an institution of, no, not an institution of, as a...
Well, he's a government employee.
Yeah, yeah, as an agent of a government.
Agent, thank you. Agent of the institution yeah. of the school, right? And no. and we have different rules that apply there, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so I shared on the podcast a while back that I did career day down at Sophia's elementary school, right? And so I have a very meaningful personal faith. My whole mm-hmm. profession is kind of based around my personal faith. Mm-hmm. But when I go into a public school setting, there are very clear things that I'm supposed to say and not supposed to say, because yeah. I'm not there as, or I'm there essentially as an agent of the school. Even though I'm not employed by them, I'm there as an agent of the school. And so, you know, the counselor was very clear with me about, like, hey, we're not going to like evangelize the
right.
kids.
We're not going like, to hand out tracts.
Right. We're not yeah. going to like try to baptize anybody right. while you're, I was like, yeah, of course. I'm going to talk about, you know, how I care for people and what like a week right. in my life looks like. Right. That's what career day is all about for kindergartners. Right. That's all it needs to be. Mm-hmm.
Is anybody else thinking about Nacho Libre when he like sneak baptizes the his wrestling partner?
I've actually never seen Nacho Libre.
Oh, you yeah. should watch that.
Okay. Yeah. Check it out.
It is a fun little film.
As Jack yeah. Black, right? As like yeah. a Mexican wrestler?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
So I think that's the distinction we have to make, is where are we comfortable drawing a line between our personal faith and between realizing that we're an agent of the state? And mm-hmm. if we're operating as an agent of the state, we have to understand that there are rules that we have to follow
yeah.
as agents of the state. And if we're not comfortable with those rules, sure. no one's forcing this right. coach to work in a public school. There are plenty of private schools where I'm sure that he could be hired, and they would love to have him praying yeah. for their games before, after, and during.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing for me that's a sticking point is that like he was probably aware of these rules mm-hmm. and agreed to them as sure. a condition of his employment ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the history behind this is he was doing this for 7 years. This was not a one-time okay. thing. So this is, he had a long mm-hmm. tradition of this. In 2015, an opposing coach kind of brought this up of like,
this seems suspect.
Yeah. This seems suspect. And it sounds like during that 7 years, sometimes he would do it alone.
Did the opposing coach lose the game? Is this like at all?
I don't think we have that detail. We haven't agreed on it yet.
That detail.
We can't agree on the score. Right. It's,
yeah. is not there.
Okay, fair enough.
Sometimes, evidently, he would do it alone. Sometimes mm-hmm. surrounded by a handful of kids. Sometimes mm-hmm. by a lot of kids mm-hmm. doing this. Evidently, according to Coach Kennedy, that students asked, could they join him? And he said, well, this is a free country. So.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I mean, this is a free country. It doesn't mean you're allowed to just do whatever you want, but in right. some people's right. minds, yeah. I guess it does. Right. Yeah. But like, and that means like, are you just allowed on the field after the game? Well, this is a free
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. I mean, maybe you are. Yeah. I don't know if you are or not.
Depends.
But like, and then in 2015, the school district finally said, okay, you can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. He did not do it for one game, mm-hmm. got convicted. Went back that same night and prayed alone, and then next week prayed again, and then was terminated. So,
or didn't renew his contract.
Or his contract was not renewed.
Tough yes. to say.
Yeah.
See, and so there.
Or suspended. Yeah. So
there, I think, you know, there are a couple of things to factor in here. None of us are saying that Coach Kennedy should not pray.
Right.
I want to be clear about that. I'm
100%.
No, I have no problem with
I'm
him
on board
praying.
With prayer. Yeah.
Go for it. Do your thing. But there are so many ways that he could be praying mm-hmm. that don't have to violate what he was asked not to do. Right.
Right.
He could still be making a very clear demonstration of his faith mm-hmm. without any kids feeling like they were pressured to be included in this process. Or I think there was one parent who reported that their son felt like they wouldn't get playing time unless they were yeah. a part of this. You know, yeah. whether or not that's a kid's perception. I sincerely doubt someone said, if you don't pray, you're right. not going to play. Like, I don't think that was said, but that could sure. be a perception that was right. there for sure. And there are so many other options that he had, right? I mean, he could have said, you know, this is a private moment for me. I'm going to pray silently at the 50-yard line. If you choose to pray silently at the 50-yard line, that's your choice. But it sounds like he's praying out loud.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, again.
With a football helmet raised in hand.
Okay, so this is
so we're making a little bit of a spectacle.
Yeah, when you're standing yeah. at the 50-yard line, raising a football helmet above your head, mm-hmm. praying out loud. Yeah, you're now making a public statement yeah. of your faith, yeah. which I have no problem with.
Right.
But you're operating as an agent of an institution that says you're not allowed to do yeah. that while you're operating as that agent. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems from a constitutional perspective fairly clear to me, but I'm not a constitutional expert. From a faith perspective, I think it's clear. Yeah, he should be praying. He should just be taking into consideration how he's praying in the environment in which he is living currently.
Like, there's just so many ways to exercise your faith that are not violating your contract. Right. You know, you just make yourself kind of a, like, I don't know. You ruin it for the rest of us.
Well, I think that's, that ruin it for the rest of us, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is now going to be lifted up as this sign of religious persecution in the United States.
Right.
And, you know, we don't want people to pray in schools and this, that, and the other. And Jesus isn't allowed in schools anymore. Like, all that's ridiculous. No one's saying he can't be Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
No one's saying that they're firing him because he's Christian.
Right.
He's being terminated, not renewed his contract, whatever, because he didn't uphold a part of the contract
that he didn't uphold for a long time they sort of turned a blind eye to that for a long, long time.
I think this is going to be kind of a lose-lose ruling. You know, whatever happens here, either if they're going to rule against Coach Kennedy, which I personally think they should, and that will create a perception of persecution, of I'm not allowed to practice my faith in the public sector. And, you know, personally, if you follow the words of Jesus and what he says, how you should pray, he says go in your closet. He says,
not make a spectacle.
The hypocrites go out there and make a public spectacle, beat their chests.
What are you going to do about that, Coach Kennedy?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, again, according to Jesus, that's the opposite of how you should be doing this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're doing it in a public place where everyone's watching, all eyes are on you.
And you're going out of your way to put all eyes on you.
Yes.
Like, it's not like I'm a public figure. You know, if the president of the United States, let's say, right, the president of the United States is stepping out for a speech, you know, all eyes are on him or her, if that were to happen in the future, right?
Here's to hoping.
You know, if they were to pause and, like, say a silent prayer to themselves, all eyes are on them, but they're not trying to make a spectacle of themselves.
Yeah.
Right? This guy is standing on the 50-yard line, raising a football helmet in the air, shouting a prayer into the earth.
Like, right.
maybe not shouting. That might be my own interpretation. But I just can't imagine, like, calmly speaking a prayer when you're raising a football helmet above your head.
There's no way. Especially because it says at the end he was, like, surrounded by, reporters and stuff. So this had to have been
now you got to be loud enough for the reporters to hear you.
Right.
You want them to all document what you say.
Right.
Yeah. And then what happens if, this Supreme Court is more conservative than years past, more leaning on the side of personal religious liberty, or potentially. And what happens if they vote against the school? What happens, you know, to our country then? Is that going to lead to a greater number of religious teachers and government employees, you know, someone's flexing their religious muscles? Sure.
And let's be clear, not all of those religious teachers are Christian.
Or your kind of Christian.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, this conversation would be entirely different if this had been a coach who practiced Islam.
Sure.
And, and was praying to Allah, which, you know, we'll acknowledge is the same God as Yahweh, but that's a different conversation, right? But if they were praying to Allah on the 50-yard line after a football game and some of the students were joining them,
he would have been fired.
On the spot.
The first time.
And so we just have to be aware of what we're expecting of others and what we're expecting of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the, you know, again, we haven't had a ruling yet. We'll see what happens. You know, we'll maybe follow this a little bit more closely, just a little more interest in what's going to happen with this. Because I do wonder what that will mean one way or the other for the religious community in America. Because anytime the religious and the court system collide, it has ramifications for all of us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this will be interesting. And this, you know, ends with kind of like a public school teacher wears two hats. You're a private citizen and that of a government worker.
Yep.
But what happens when those hats get blended?
Well, and this is when
really
was it?
Weird hat.
That is a weird hat.
Do you do your pilot head check? Your football coach head check. Hey, what hat is he wearing right now?
I think, you know, this goes back to, what was it, 2015 when that the clerk of the court in Kentucky refused to solemnize gay marriages after the Supreme Court's decision. And, you know, she was claiming religious freedom. And stuff like,
this was the same year. This happened in the same year.
It was a big year for religious freedom.
Yeah. for meaningless shows.
I think this is, it's right in that same vein, right? That you're absolutely allowed to practice religious freedom. But when you work for an institution, you have to be aware that your religious freedom might not apply there.
Yeah.
And if you're not comfortable with that, you need to work somewhere. No one is forcing you to work for this institution, right?
And I think it's sort of what we, in the same way that we talk about freedom of speech, right? Like technically, like you can say just about anything without being pursued by the government, but that doesn't mean that you're free from the consequences in your personal life, like which includes your career, right? If you say or do something that goes against the contract that you signed, I or think even that's
just,
too bad,
or even just against the desires of the community. If the community desires to boycott you because of something you said or did,
you get canceled.
In fairness, in this situation, it is an agent of the government, the school system, that did fire, that did suspend or fire. So this, that I think that's why this is much more interesting than just a private institution or a public community saying we don't want this. This is a state-sponsored organization that has a made a ruling here.
Right. I think that separation of church and state is what makes that
I think he would have a much better case if he weren't if he were fired from a private institution for this. I think he would have a much better case than being fired from a public entity, which we have said, you know, we have a separation of church and state built into our understanding of how
Let's get into the larger issue.
Yeah, let's do it. I think that's good because I was digging a hole and I didn't know where.
I think we're circling the drain there. So
circling the drain does not sound like a positive thing. Was that
that's like that, when you're about to die?
That's what we're saying. Like we are basically everything we've had to do is done, and so all that's left is to go down the drain. Okay. So
just us talking nonsense.
Let's jump out of this tub and go to a new tub. Wait, what do we got?
I like that you when you heard circling a drain, it's you thought tub drain. which I appreciate.
What other kind of drain would you be draining?
A toilet.
Is that what you think?
No, you're circling the drain is like a sink or tub. You flush a toilet. You don't circle the drain of a drain.
That actually has stuff going down the drain. So like not just water.
Oh boy.
I don't know what you're doing in the tub.
Listen, I got a 2-year-old. Things happen. Right. All right.
That's fair.
All right. Here we go. Back to Christianity Today. So we're double dip in Christianity Today.
I'll take a double scoop, please.
And this is written by Russell Moore, a guy I don't know personally, but I at least know who he is.
You haven't invited him on the podcast.
We know who Russell Moore is?
I do. Russell Moore, no relation to Beth Moore, but a similar trajectory.
Oh.
In that,
former Lutheran?
A big wig in the Baptist spheres.
Beth Moore is a former Lutheran.
What?
She grew up in the LCMS.
She just jumped ship.
Well, she grew up in the LCMS, but she couldn't be a pastor, so she became an evangelical not pastor.
But could be a pastor.
I don't know. She grew up in the LCMS. That's all I know.
She should come here.
Good for her.
I don't think she'd be fair.
He was a big public figure in the Southern Baptist Church. He was not a pastor, but like I think he was like their director of ethics or something like that. Notable anti-Trumper.
Okay.
Same as Beth Moore. And notably, same as Beth Moore, left the SBC somewhat
because of
kind of like, here's the door.
Yeah.
You know, like
escorted out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're alienating a lot of our people. Even if we privately might not disagree with you, there's a lot of people that do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here's the door.
Right.
So ooh,
we love that spine.
Yeah. So, and again,
that was sarcasm.
And him and Beth Moore have the same last name. So.
Right, but they're not related.
Not related.
Definitely not married.
Do we know that for sure?
I know that for sure.
Okay. I don't, so.
So this is him writing for Christianity Today. I mean, maybe they have a secret wedding.
Could be a common law situation. I don't know.
pretty sure that's not it.
Where they shared the same last name before they were married?
Listen, before we get sued for libel here, let's just move on.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure Russell and Beth are listening in on this. All right. So he opens, the name of the article is religious freedom. I don't want to be like, no religious freedom. Yes. Okay. No, religious freedom doesn't send people to hell. Okay.
Okay. I'm not. For Russell Moore.
It's interesting. Earlier this morning, Pastor David, you were like, read me this headline. I was like, who's arguing that it does?
Right.
But evidently,
people are arguing.
Some people are.
I have a story that I want to inject real quick.
Do
right
it.
Here.
What do we got?
One time, I was behind a bus in the Woodlands that was like a drive for something, and it said,
The bus was driving for
it
something?
It was like advertising food drive or something. And it said, feed puppies and seniors. And I said, has anybody argued that we shouldn't feed puppies in seniors? At least why do we need a drive?
Nobody went over there with some spray paint and changed that "and" to a "to."
Right, to feed puppies to seniors. That solves several problems at once.
It kind of does, yeah.
Help control the pet population.
Right. Have a hot meal.
Right.
Feed your puppy to your grandma. Right.
This was very like Soylent Green.
Thanks, Bob Barker. All right.
All right. So from the article, the opening. Last week, an old video resurfaced on Twitter in which John MacArthur, pastor of Los Angeles' Grace Community Church. Do you know who John MacArthur is?
No relation to George MacArthur, so no.
Do you know? I don't know who George MacArthur is.
Well, I know
George,
that there's a MacArthur of importance somewhere at some point in history.
I think George MacArthur is a general. I think is.
Yes. Yeah. Which side?
Tough to say.
I don't think we remember.
I think in San Antonio there was a MacArthur High School.
All right. So that's definitely.
Which doesn't mean anything. Because I went to Robert E. Lee High School.
Sure.
I'd say it would probably be in the same vein as Robert E. Lee High School.
There was also a Churchill High School named after Winston Churchill. So
MacArthur, I'm calling it was like World War II.
Yeah. Who knows, right?
Yes. I should know this.
That's Douglas MacArthur. No, I don't know. Doesn't matter. None of that is the point.
This is not.
In way.
Does not matter.
It's not a history.
John MacArthur is a SBC pastor, an author, relatively big within the confines of that world. Okay. We have talked about him on the podcast before in relation to Beth Moore.
Oh.
I don't know if you were here for that, but it was back in the Katie days, you know, the early days of the podcast.
You're asking if I was here for that?
Yeah, I don't know if you may have been on leave.
Oh, okay.
On parental leave, anything like that. But basically,
like leave.
Upon suspension.
He responded to Beth Moore. They asked him, like, give a two-word phrase whenever we say something. And they said, Beth Moore. And he said, go home.
Oh, no. I was here for that. Ooh. I remember. No. I didn't remember it was this guy, but I do remember that conversation. It was rude.
If you're
super rude.
Yeah.
If you're like, does this guy seem like an old, angry, like, you might be right.
Yep.
Like, I don't, like, super love Beth Moore, but it's just, like, nastiness.
She's fine for her circles.
Yeah.
I'm just not in that circle.
Right. Yes. Yep.
He went for the comic pot shot to just be mean to Beth
Moore.
And
he is in her circle, too. Like, they're both in the SBC.
Not anymore.
But not anymore.
She's been quietly
shown the door. Yeah.
A man, so he's not. So.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So, anyway, he's also notably fighting against California's vaccine and mask mandates.
Excellent.
I don't think they have vaccine mandates. I may have misspoken, but they're mask mandates. Yeah. So
he's fighting against something in relation to their laws concerning COVID. Yeah.
So anyway, in this clip, John MacArthur argued that supporting religious freedom promotes idolatry and enables the kingdom of darkness. That religious freedom is what sends people to hell.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. So
cool.
So, you know.
We should
just make it bad for everybody while they're here.
It's a choice. Yeah.
And I do know through, I think it was either Pew Research or Barna Research, you know.
One of our friends.
Pew. They did a polling of like to religious institutions, like, do you want basically the United States to look like your religion?
Mm-hmm.
And Southern Baptists far and away are like,
we're in it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're the only group that had more than a 50% yes attached to it. And it was like 60% or something like that. So
I'm surprised it was that low.
Yeah. And so, you know, in some ways, like, you know, I was reading that. I'm like, if this is the I want desperately to evangelize in a way that my neighbors and community fall in love with Jesus and share in the same faith. Okay.
Okay. You can kind of see that. Yeah.
If it is, I just want to put the veneer on America in the same as the 1950s veneer that we're all just Christian.
Yeah.
And we just don't have to worry about evangelizing or minority religions at all. Mm-hmm. Or nobody's going to tell me I'm wrong for praying at a football game.
Uh-huh.
You know, like that may be what, and that's what I want. And so, you know, I don't know what the individual who's responding to that, that survey says, but I'm sure there's a pretty healthy amount that just kind of says, I kind of just want the veneer back. Yeah. Whether they would say that directly or not.
Yeah, it's the implication.
I think the implication is like, I just want to be able to say what I want about my religion and nobody's going to tell me that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Or nobody's going to call me homophobic whenever I say things that the society is saying is homophobic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, or nobody's going to call me sexist because I don't think women should be pastors. Mm-hmm. I just want that.
Yeah.
I want that back.
Yeah.
According to Russell Moore, he also had a pastor tell him that religious freedom is essentially the affirmation of the words of the serpent, ye shall not surely die. Like the serpent is
being sarcastic.
Old English there too.
Ye shall not.
To grant religious freedom for false religions, as Parson contended, is the equivalent of allowing the prophet of Baal to have a place on their own on Mount Carmel.
Do you have a feeling about this?
I got lots of feelings about this.
Yeah. Okay. What do we think?
I'm going to need a minute.
Yeah.
So you go ahead, Elise.
Okay.
You got this. Take a swing.
I think just like a fundamental misunderstanding of two things that are totally unrelated.
Yeah.
A profit of, like, just to equate, like, putting a profit bill in the temple with saying, I think that other people should be able to practice their religion in peace and dignity.
Right.
Yeah.
Is kind of sickening.
Right.
To me.
Yeah. I think that's a helpful place for us to start and less angry than I was going to be initially. So thank you.
Feel free.
No, thank you for the moment to
we'll
me.
We'll support you.
Sure.
You know, Patrick and I were talking about this a little bit this morning, and you know, an important distinction here, right, is that the Israelite nation definitely did not have religious freedom, right? I mean, if you were part of the Israelite nation, you were expected to be praising Yahweh. That was if you were born into the Israelite nation, you were a follower of Yahweh. There was no choice. You didn't grow up and say, what do I think about this?
Right.
Or at least in the same, there's the veneer of that on top.
Sure.
Whether or not, you know, random ex dude doing his life believes any of it. Maybe not.
Sure.
I don't know.
Tough to say.
Who's never had an interaction with a prophet or a miracle or things like that. Again, but the story we get in the Old Testament is that is God's nation.
That is God's nation.
And they are told very directly, purge.
Yep.
Other religions
at multiple points.
Out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Get rid of it. Don't let any of those other things stay.
Yeah.
So there's an argument to be made there. Mm-hmm. However, we do not live in a nation that was founded by God with a king who was, you know, ordained by God with a prophets who have been speaking on behalf. We don't live in that nation, right? Mm-hmm. We live in a different world.
I think, first of all, there's going to be a few people that disagree with that.
Well, that's...
So, I think you're right, but I'm going to tell you.
I'm going to need a paper bag to breathe into here for a minute.
Right.
No, I think that's a fair point, too. I think there are probably people who disagree with that, but I think, you know, on this podcast, and hopefully our listeners can all agree, right, we do not live in a nation that was founded by God. We live in a nation from people who were fleeing religious persecution. Granted, all Christians at the time, but they were fleeing religious persecution. They were looking for a place where they could practice their own religion freely. When we got here, we very quickly assumed that meant everybody could freely practice Christianity.
Right.
Sometimes, as long as it was our form of Christianity. Right. You know, we've had this long history of Christian persecution, even within the United States. But we've always had this underlying root of saying, like, no, this should be a place where, from the government's perspective, people are not going to be persecuted or arrested or otherwise harassed because of their religious expression, right? From the government's perspective, you have every right to be whatever religion you want. And from the government's perspective, that should still be true in the United States.
Yeah.
Because the government is not, the United States government was not ordained by God.
Right.
It was ordained by humanity. As a Christian, right? Yeah, I'd love to like be in a place where I'm surrounded by other Christians and everybody shares my beliefs. That'd be like the kingdom of God. That'd be great. Sure. I'd love that.
And I believe one day I will be.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, yeah. But I also don't think that my Hindu neighbor, I don't have a Hindu neighbor, but let's imagine that. I don't think my Hindu neighbor and like the fact that my child acknowledges that they exist and are alive in the world and practice whatever they practice, I don't think that is leading my child to hell.
Right.
Sure.
You know, and a whole different conversation would be whether or not I think that's leading my Hindu neighbor to hell. That's a different bailiwick altogether.
But right.
Yeah.
A bailiwick.
Is bailiwick still a thing people say?
I don't know.
Yeah. That was the thing people said like 100 years ago. Okay. Cool.
I'm a millennial of the wrong millennium.
Right. Yeah. I definitely agree. You're the oldest millennial I know.
I was just, I don't know. I was trying to decide if I was supposed to be offended by that or not.
I don't know. Yeah. I did, like, I said an expression before podcast recording started and I got made fun of very strongly by Patrick. Yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, let's kick this whistle pig.
What's a whistle pig?
Yeah, that's... let's move on. We don't need to get into this, okay? Yeah, this is an interesting question, because I don't think...
Wait, why are you kicking the whistle pig? All right, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
The South, man.
I don't think, and Russell Moore would say, like, America and, you know, usually Christians in America never really have, like, a, you believe in Baal, I believe in God, what difference does it make, kind of pluralism. Obviously, there are pieces of that in America, but I don't think by and large the majority of the Christian church has that. Maybe some Christians, if you're listening to the podcast, might have that. But the question of religious freedom is not that.
Right.
It is who should have regulatory power over religion.
Okay.
And if you believe religion shouldn't be regulated by the state, then you believe in religious freedom.
And so the government should not be allowed to tell me how I practice my religion.
Correct. Yes.
Except when I work as an employee of the government.
Sure.
Yeah.
Caveat. Yes.
And there's that.
Yes. Like, for example, if you think the government should take your kids and raise them for you, if you are against that.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Where do I sign up?
Hey, right. Look, some days.
Yeah. Is this like babysitting?
Do I get to visit on weekends?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What's the arrangement?
Yeah. Like, in the same way, if you don't think that is the case, even if we can probably acknowledge there are some families that do need that, that some kids that do would be better in that situation, we could say, but by and large, that should not happen.
Right.
It shouldn't be that every kid.
Right. It's not the default.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we could say, but then by and large, the government should not step in to dictate religious matters to the people.
Right.
Even if there may be a handful of cases where that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. So there we go. So that's kind of Russell Moore's main argument.
I think that's a valuable argument because I think, you know, if you want, you know, the way a democracy works, right? If you want your religious beliefs to be incarnated in the law, right? Then all you got to do is show up on election day. And, you know, whether I agree with your position or not, if you elect people who agree with your position, that those are the kinds of things that are going to happen. But we have the grounding of the Constitution that's going to ensure that those laws all fall in line with, you know, the appropriate line that we've set forth for our country. So this is why it always cracks me up when people say like, oh, well, if we elect someone of the Islamic faith that we're going to start practicing Sharia law.
Right.
Like, well, only if Sharia law falls in line with the Constitution.
Right.
Like, you know, they're not just going to be able to say everybody has to pray seven times a day. Like, that's not going to be a law that they're allowed to put in because we have a Constitution. Like, this. So, yeah, I believe in religious freedom because I live in a democracy, but I also live in a church. And so if you're teaching a class at my church, you're not allowed to teach whatever you want to teach, right? If you're practicing and you're claiming to be a part of our community, I expect that there are going to be certain patterns of your behavior and your life that are upheld as being a part of this community or being a leader in this community. But this is not the government, right? This church is not the United States government. It's a different thing.
That's where that attitude, I think, also comes down to, like, what is it that you're afraid of, you know, with other people being able to practice their religions? Yeah. Like, if it's just exposure, it's for yourself or your kids to other religions, and you're afraid that you're going to, I don't know, suddenly, like, convert to another religion, then you don't really have a grounding faith, you know, at that point.
If just being around someone of a different faith is going to make you stop believing in Jesus.
And then...
Do you believe in Jesus?
Right. Yeah.
You might want to reevaluate.
Yeah.
Well, I think this comes from, I think, a very legitimate fear, and well, maybe an illegitimate fear, you know, of like, obviously the United States has grown more secular and less openly easy for Christians to practice over the last 30 or so years.
The veneer has been stripped.
The veneer has been stripped. Yeah. Yeah. And for some...
Much like the veneer in your grandparents' bathroom. It's been stripped.
And so for some people out there, they are thinking, my kids went away to college. They stopped believing in the same beliefs we believed as a family. The problem is college. And not, did we do a good job of helping them with their beliefs as a family. Doesn't get into that. That's that introspective. It has to be, if society was helping me,
right?
If the United States Constitution, if our government employees was helping me instill those values, they never would have been taken away from my kids.
Sure.
You know, and they have that fear attached to that. I think what they're missing is that was always happening.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't happen publicly that.
Yeah.
Like, when we look at kind of like the rate of like Christianity on the decline in the United States, what we might be getting at is Christians now are, we always had the exact same amount or same percentage of Christians, but there were just people who kind of went with the flow, who didn't believe any of it, but it was just, well, easier.
Guess I'll be a part of this.
And maybe that was more comfortable for Christians.
Yeah.
But if you are thinking what gets you into heaven is a personal connection to Jesus Christ, those people did not have that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If that's your theology, you could say like that didn't happen. Like if that's your goal is to make sure everybody has that. Well, having the veneer does not equal that.
It wasn't taken away. It was never there to begin with. So.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just wanted to live in the fantasy that it was there. And so I think that this is very real. And I think one thing that happens when we think of like, when we talk about, oh, my kids should be able to pray, there should be prayer in schools because I want the school to help instill my family values. Because when they go to school, I'm not with them for 8 hours a day. What are they getting? What are they learning? And my kid went to public school and he met a Muslim and now is questioning his faith. Oh my gosh, get rid of that, you know, make sure that doesn't happen.
Make sure the Muslims aren't allowed to
Or make sure if my kid's teacher is saying the Lord's Prayer. But when we think about these things, if I want the state to help get involved in this process, one, the state isn't going to necessarily have the same religious views you have, even if you think they're similar. Like, what if the state is Catholic and you're Baptist? What if the state is Baptist and then shifts and veers in different directions and you feel left behind from your personal point of view? Those things can happen. And that leads to that fear, right? If the state should be helping me and then somebody from the state is of a different faith, then now they're going to instill those values, you know, that I'm nervous about, instead of saying the state isn't helping us at all. And by the way, it never was.
I think the veneer is the most helpful image that we've got from this, right? We've had this veneer of Christianity, and do we want that veneer, or do we want genuine faith? And if we're looking for genuine faith, we can't depend on the state for that. And we have to get out of the business of depending on the state for that. You know, we even said this a long time ago. This is another episode from way in the early days, when we were talking about like churches and tax breaks and things like that. And, you know, a whole new layer of that has come out with churches receiving assistance during the not CARES Act. What was the other one that they put out?
Act.
Insert act where people receive money for paychecks. Anyway, you know, when churches were eligible for that, right, there's, you know, this question of should churches take that money? Should churches be eligible for that money? You know, ultimately, Lord of Life did receive those some of those funds from that and have, you know, been able to continue our ministry as we've been doing because of those funds. But that's a big question. Like, you know, if we're saying we don't want government involved at all, or we want government more involved, we have to be aware of what that means and what that might implicate for how a lot of natural benefits that we've received over the years might impact us or might be impacting other institutions, right? We can't expect churches to get tax breaks and mosques to not, right? Or anything like that. We have to be aware that, like, from the government's perspective, all that has to be treated the same.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And weirdly, so does the church of whatever Star Trek thing that somebody starts and says, oh, this is my religion now.
Whatever Star Trek thing.
All right. Like, you know, from the government's perspective, like, if you can say this is a religion, like,
right,
we have very little ground on which to say we can't do that.
Right. Yeah.
No offense to Trekkies out there.
I also do want to highlight.
Is Trekkie an offensive term?
No, you're fine.
It's not an offensive term. I also do want to highlight in terms of the global church, which sometimes we in America forget about. Like,
what?
There's other church.
There's Christians outside.
There are people that aren't American, and
I thought we just had to evangelize all those people.
Yes. Christianity is pretty much doing fine, and also historically, it really does pretty fine when the government is ambivalent or even against it. Like, those things do not hinder Christianity, except for maybe some handful of extreme cases. But for the most part, government does not stop the spread of Christianity.
Has not yet. Yeah.
Even when it's against it.
That does stop some individuals.
It does.
And that's a real thing.
If you're listening, it might stop you. It might stop people who are afraid of their religious liberties being stripped away, or they're afraid of changing culture around this. It might stop them from practicing their faith openly, but ultimately it doesn't. Historically speaking, when Stalin was elected in Russia, and it kind of took an extreme anti-religious stance, at the fall of the Soviet Union, there were more Christians in Russia than at the beginning. And that's an incredible testament to the power of how God operates here. He does not need the president of the United States to get there. God is not interested in saying, like, oh, but did the teachers pray in school? Because he can move when everyone is against you. Like, those things still happen. And that's a pretty powerful testament to how God operates.
Absolutely.
Not limited.
Yeah. Jesus did not come as a political ruler.
No.
The disciples did not become political rulers.
No.
The truth will set you free.
It was a couple
first
hundred,
it'll take you off.
It was a couple hundred years later when the church said, hey, look, we've got political power.
Yeah.
Let's do something with that.
Look at this shiny political power.
That sounds like fun.
Usually not a lot of good things.
Right. Not a lot of good things.
Some good things, but not a lot.
Not all terrible, but...
Yeah.
But what, off the top of your head, what are we going to name that's been good from that? Because I can think of several things like Salem Witch Trials.
Indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing. Did that come from political power from the church?
Came after the church had political power, so why not?
mean, why not? Correlation equals causation.
Yep, there it is.
For a long period of time, I mean, churches were the center of like education.
Yeah, sure.
You know, almost every college in Europe has a religious background attached to it. Yep. So, I mean, like, those things matter, you know. Mm-hmm. Churches are, for a long time, were the center of the arts. Mm-hmm. For a long time, the center of medicine. I mean, mm-hmm. like, so there's
they
a lot.
They also hindered a lot of medicine and science. Yeah,
it's very insular learning and who gets to learn. And
sure. But society was having nobody learn. Right. Church was having some people learn. Yeah. So, I mean, like,
it's a little bit of a baby in a bathwater thing. But
is it better? Yes. No. You know, again and again.
I'm pro church. I just want to say that.
Yeah. I know.
Let's just kick that whistle pig and we'll see what happens.
That's right.
Did I use it right?
Let's kick this whistle pig.
Yeah.
Did I do it right?
Yeah.
Is that a football term? Is that what the guy was doing?
That's punting. Yeah. Kicking the whistle pig. It's a punt.
Is it?
No.
It's a sports ball?
I have no idea what
kicking a groundhog.
Why would you do that? What does that even mean?
I don't know. People hunt groundhogs. I know in the South.
By kicking them?
Maybe. They're nuisance animals.
In fairness, I've never been hunting, but in my mind, I don't go out there and kick a deer to death.
It's a strategy.
I usually think it's with a gun or a bow or something.
Yeah, sure.
Not like with my foot.
That's like when you find one that's mostly dead already.
Okay. All right. We're done?
Yeah,
we're done. Yeah. Hey, if you like this podcast and you want to practice your religious freedom, feel free to share it on your Facebook page or wherever it is. Because
I need religious freedom to go hunt some Snorlax.
You are free to share this wherever you would like. And we'd love to have you share it with your friends and family and let them listen to this one. Or you can direct them to any of our other episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And of course, we want to hear your stories of how you've prayed in a public place and have experienced that as either a good or a bad thing. Why not?
Have you done any ill-advised praying?
I didn't say ill-advised. I said praying in a public place. That could be very well-advised.
Write
anyway,
a story.
You can do it at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. That's where we want to hear from you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, buddy. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.